welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, delivering shows from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In this hour, Adventure Stories. Later on, we hear a Rocky Jordan from 1949, but right now an Iron Curtain drama on Suspense. This episode called Breakthrough from January 7th, 1962 on CBS.
And now, a tale well calculated to keep you in suspense. Listen now to Breakthrough, starring Adelaide Klein and Philip Sterling, and written especially for Suspense by William N. Robeson.
Mother, hurry up. We don't have all day.
Oh, Billy, I don't know if I should leave.
Mother, you have to.
Oh, it is not easy.
Of course it isn't.
Oh, how would you know, Billy? You are young. You have your whole life ahead of you. But my life has been lived here in this flat. Your father brought me here as a bride. There in that bedroom I had my children. And here I brought them up to be men.
Dead men.
Your brothers died for their country.
What country? For which fatherland did they spill their blood?
Oh, don't try to confuse me with politics, my son. Your brothers died, yes, but they died honorably.
It is as it may be.
Honorably. And now you are all I have left, my son. You and the memories which live with me in these rooms.
You no longer have me, Mother. Unless you come with me now.
Oh, really?
You must
please.
Make your decision. I've already made mine. Marta is over there waiting for me. And the baby. They're safe.
They come first, don't they, really?
Of course they do.
They should. Go to them. That's where you belong, with them.
Now, Mother.
You go on. Be with them. I will stay here with the memories of men who cared for the old days.
Now, Mother, listen to me. Just be quiet and listen. I came back for you, didn't I? I came back last night to get you, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
And you begged me to let you spend one last night here with your memories, and I did, didn't I?
Yes, really.
All right. Now, understand me, Mother. I'm leaving now. I cannot risk another minute. The way things are, they may close the border any time. I cannot take any more chances. Mother, I want you to come with me. Marta wants you too. Your little granddaughter, she wants you. She needs you. We all do.
Oh.
Now, will you come?
All right, Billy.
Good.
I just have to get a few...
No, Mother, nothing. You'll take nothing. You'll come the way you are.
But really, they are... I... Aren't you even going to lock the door?
What difference does it make?
The neighborhood, it has changed so. You cannot trust your neighbors anymore.
What do you care? You'll never see them again.
Ah, good morning, Frau Schmidt.
Oh, Herr Weiss, good morning.
Don't stop to talk. Keep going.
Well, where are we off to so early this bright Sunday morning?
Why, church. We're going to church.
Ah, that's nice. A pious and dutiful son off to early church with his mother. Still working on the other side of the city, really?
You know it's forbidden.
Yes, I know. I wondered if you did.
If you'll pardon us, Herr Weiss. Get in, Mother.
Yes, indeed. Mustn't keep the pastor waiting, must we? Or vice versa, nicht?
What did he mean by that?
Who knows?
Oh, he is a godless man. He's one of them.
Don't look back, Mother. Remember what happened to Lot's wife.
Oh, really?
I will tell you when you can look back.
When, really?
When we get through the Brandenburg Gate. Then you can look back. And you can thumb your nose at them if you want to.
And you are sure I will not turn into a pillar of salt?
I guarantee it.
Where are we now, Willie?
Friedrichstrasse.
Oh, it has been such a long time since I have been downtown.
Oh, they haven't rebuilt it much. I don't think they ever will. But wait. Wait until you see the other side. Oh, just wait. It's a whole new city. A shiny new city.
The Unter den Linden. It was Weidemann's fault. So it seemed when I was a girl.
Is the Brandenburg Gate up ahead? It probably looks the same, huh?
Not quite. There was no barbed wire or soldiers.
Barbed wire? It's a barricade. We're too late.
Oh, a soldier. He's pointing his gun, Willie. He's motioning you to stop.
Halt!
What is this?
The gate is closed.
Closed?
As you can see.
Why?
Orders.
But I've got to get through. My wife and baby are over there.
I cannot help you.
Look, I took them over 2 days ago. Then I came back for my mother here.
That's just the trouble. People like you, hundreds of you, thousands, going over to the West and not coming back. Well, not any longer. Nobody goes, nobody comes. My wife and kids stay there. You stay here.
Would you care to bet on that?
This gun says you stay.
You would shoot a countryman?
If he doesn't obey orders.
What kind of a German are you?
A citizen of the Deutsche Demokratische Republik.
A stooge. A communist stooge.
Jimmy, be careful.
Take him out of here, lady,
a
before I shoot
shrine.
Him. I'm warning you. You better turn around and go back.
Come, Willie.
Don't you understand what this means, Mother? They're closing the sector. They're splitting the city in two. We are trapped here. Now I'll never get back to Martha and the baby. If only you had come with me last night.
I am sorry, Willie. And you are right. Just because I am a silly, sentimental old fool. Well, let me try. Herr Polizei.
What are you going to do?
I am going to talk to this policeman.
Bitte?
We must get across to West Berlin. You will please let us by.
I'm afraid that's impossible.
My son here has already taken his wife and little baby across. They are waiting for him at Marie and Felder. He only came back to fetch me.
You shouldn't tell me these things.
Why not?
You are implicating your son. I could arrest him for aiding the escape of our people.
Your people? You don't own us. Your communist party doesn't own us. We're free people.
I could also shoot him for an enemy of the state, and I might, if you don't get him out of here.
But we want to get out. We want to cross over. Oh, we must. Here, I will give you money. It is not much, but I will...
Bitte, gnädige Frau, don't try to bribe me. That is a crime for which I can arrest you.
But you wouldn't arrest...
Werner! Achtung!
Jawohl, Eis. Was ist los?
Running through the gate! That old man! He refuses to halt!
You there! Halt! Halt, I say! I fire!
Halt! Alles befreit!
Oh, you shot him. Freedom, he shouted. Everything for freedom. And you shot him.
I have my orders.
Yeah, so I see. Come, Minnie. Let us do as this man says. Turn the car around and let us go home.
Mother.
Hurry, before he changes his mind.
Heinz?
Jawohl, Werner.
Lend me your motorcycle.
Oh, take it.
You stand by here.
Where are you going?
After that car. I think we should know more about these people.
Short service.
Oh, all the better. It gives you more time to enjoy the fine weather. Take a drive over to West Berlin, maybe.
Why do you say that?
Oh, no reason, no reason. But there are some lovely places to drive in West Berlin. The Wannsee, the Zahlendorf.
Really? Willie, please, help me up to the apartment, yes?
What's the matter with her?
She's upset.
Something the pastor said?
No, something you communists did.
You should be more careful,
come, Mother.
My boy.
Come, Mother.
I'm sorry, Willie. Very sorry.
No, no, Mother.
I did not know. I did not realize how bad it was. I did not think they would really close us off.
It's all right, Mother. We had to try to find another way.
How, Willie? They will shoot you. They will shoot you down like they did that poor man. And all he wanted was freedom. The door is unlocked.
Yes, yes, we left it that way.
Oh.
Don't you remember? We were never coming back.
Oh, Willie. Please, please forgive
me. All right, Mother, I forgive you.
I don't.
Carl, what are you doing here?
Where were you last night?
Willie, who is
this? Excuse me, Mother. This is Carl Dietrich. My mother, Carl.
Frau Schmidt?
I am glad to meet you, Carl.
Carl's a friend of mine. We worked together at the office. I promised to pick him up last night and drive him over to West Berlin.
Yeah, what happened to you?
Well, I...
Carl, I will tell you what happened. I would not leave, and he would not go without me. It was my fault, and I am sorry.
Well, there's no use crying about it now.
I thought you would go on across the line when I didn't show up.
Well, I tried to, but it was too late. By midnight, they were already stringing by at the Brandenburg Gate. I tried Banaustrasse. They were starting to build a wall.
A wall?
Big concrete slabs.
Herr lieber Gott.
Everywhere along the line, there were Vopos with Sten guns.
I know. We saw them use one. How about the Tetlov Canal?
At 3 o'clock this morning, they were thick as frogs along the canal. Oh, they mean business this time, Willie.
They warned us. You can't say they didn't warn us, and we were fools enough to let ourselves get caught.
We're not caught yet, but I nearly was.
Where?
When I realized I couldn't get across the line, I went back home. And guess what?
Vopos? What else?
That's right, waiting for me outside the building. I got away as fast as I could, and I came here. It was the only place I could go. The door was open.
It's all right. Did anyone see you come in?
There was a fat man sitting on the stoop next door.
Oh, he would be.
Willie?
Yes, Mother.
Come to the window.
What is it, Mother?
Look down there. That polizei. He just rode off on a motorcycle.
That's the same one who stopped us at the gate.
He's asking Herr Weiss something. Herr Weiss is pointing up here.
Stand back from the window. He will see us.
Who is that fat one? The neighborhood informer?
That's about it.
Polizei, he's coming up here. Willie, we must do something.
What can we do? He's got a gun.
And I've got a knife.
No. No, Carl.
Yes, Carl. Use it. Kill him as he killed that poor man out in the square.
Mother.
Yes, I mean it, Willie. Oh, you are shocked to hear such words from your mother. I am shocked to say them. They come strange and bitter on my tongue, but they must be said. I did not know before, but I know now, hearing you talk, seeing them kill. The guilt belongs to all of us, for it is the times we live in that make us murderers. Yes, Carl, use the knife.
I'll get behind the door.
You two, Willie, out of sight. Just a minute, I am coming. Yes.
You are the Frau Schmidt?
Yes.
You recognize me?
Why, I do not think so. My acquaintance among the polizei is very limited.
I stopped your car on the Unter den Linden a half an hour ago.
Oh, yes. And you shot a man.
I was only doing my duty.
Oh, I am sure of that. What do you want here?
I want to talk to you and your son. Where is he?
In the back room. What do you want with us?
Your identity cards. I want to see them.
Of course. Come in, please. For Freiheit!
For freedom!
He's dead.
He is dead.
Good.
Mother.
No, Willie. We were right to kill him. Usually we Germans are wrong. We listen to the wrong people. And like dumb animals, we do what they tell us to do. When we kill the wrong people for the wrong reasons. But this time, feel all right.
Mother. I don't know you. You're like a stranger to me.
Am I really? Am I my son? Yeah, I suppose I am. Oh, I have been asleep for such a very long time. A long time. But once I was awake. There was a time when I stood up against the world and said what I thought. I guess maybe that is why your gentle father fell in love with me. Ah, but I soon learned that in Germany you could not have an opinion and also have your freedom. So for the sake of my husband and my children, I gave up having opinions. I did not know that I was giving up freedom, too. They have the opinion for you. They feed them to you like pretty little sleeping pills. The Führer, Ulbricht, what difference does it make? They keep you half asleep with their manufactured opinions. But this morning I woke up when I saw that man die for freedom. Does this shock you, my son?
No. Mother, but...
Willie, give me a hand here.
What are you doing?
Trying to relieve this corpse of this uniform.
You have a plan.
Fear someone should. Yes, I have a plan.
What is it?
A Volkspolizei came up to this flat. A Volkspolizei will leave it if he can get into this uniform. And he will have under arrest Frau Schmidt and her son.
Gut, ganz gut.
You will get into the car and drive off escorted by the same Volkspolizei and apparently under his gun.
But why go to the trouble of this masquerade? Why don't the three of us just go down the stairs and drive off?
Forget your neighbor, the informer.
Oh, yes. Then see a vice.
A uniformed escort just might be able to get you across the line to West Berlin.
Where?
I think we'll try the Friedrichstrasse checkpoint this time. There. Remarkably good fit, don't you think?
Like it was made for you.
Frau Schmidt?
I am ready, Karl.
Remember, you are my prisoner. Just do as I tell you, and pray your neighbor doesn't recognize me.
This time, Willie, lock it.
Why, Mother?
We do not want our guest to be found too soon.
That is right.
Well, 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 what is this? What is the trouble, Frau Schmidt?
You should know. You've told him where we live.
He asked. I had to. It was my duty.
Get in the car. Lady sits in the back. You drive.
Is there anything I can do?
You have done enough already, have I? Quite enough.
I was not talking to you, Frau Schmidt. What else can I do to serve you, Herr Polizei?
Keep your eye on my motorbike. Stand guard until I come back for it. Do not leave for a minute.
Jawohl, Herr Polizei.
All right, let's get out of here.
Oh, just a minute, Herr Polizei.
Yeah, what is it?
There was another one.
Another one?
Yeah. Before Frau Schmidt and her son came back, a young fellow asked for them and then went up to their apartment. Yes, where is he?
I did not see anyone else.
But he has got to be there. I saw him go up. I did not see him come down.
Well, I did not see him. Come on, Willie, let's get out of here.
Hey, wait a minute. He must be... Wait a minute! You are not the Polizei. You are that same fellow. But if you are not the Polizei, where is the Polizei? Where is he? What have you done with him? What have you done with him?
Friedrichstrasse checkpoint coming up.
Herr Gott, look at the wall they have built already.
But there is still an opening. A sort of... gateway with barbed wire stuffed into it. What do we do now, Carl?
Keep going until they stop us. Then I don't know. I'll play it by ear. Try to bluff us through. Are you with me?
Yes, I...
To the end.
Don't say it that way, Mother. It sounds so final.
It is, my son.
Slow down, Willie. There's a Vopo flagging us.
Huh? What's the matter with you? Can't you read? Don't you see the signs?
street is closed.
I'm sorry, officer. I was just doing what this officer here told me to do.
Huh? Oh, I didn't see you.
I have orders to escort these people across the line and deliver them in West Berlin.
Let me see the orders.
They are verbal orders. You see, this is a top secret mission. These are very important people.
Who issued these orders?
The Oberleutnant.
What caserne are you?
Johannisthal.
Then you should recognize your comrades. These are the men of Johannisthal on duty here.
Why, so they are.
And there's the Oberleutnant. You won't mind if he repeats these verbal orders to me, will you? Hey, Oberleutnant, come into here, Bitter.
All right, Billy, let's get out of here. Don't you think they've crashed the gate?
That's right, Billy. Don't go back. Go ahead.
There's wire there.
Oh, it's break through. There's no way back now, Billy.
They're shooting at us.
What a crash.
Captain, the car's catching fire.
Come on, you guys, on the double. Let's get them out of there.
He didn't make it either. But you made it. You're a free man now.
You're a free man. A free man.
Suspense. Been listening to Breakthrough, starring Adelaide Klein and Philip Sterling, and written especially for Suspense by William N. Robeson. Suspense is produced and directed by Bruno Zerato Jr., music supervision by Ethel Huber. Featured in tonight's story were Bob Dryden as Vice, Danny Occo as First Vopal, Alan Manson as Carl, Louis Van Ruten as third vopo, Guy Repp as second vopo, Doug Parkhurst as the GI, and Sam Raskin as the escapee. Listen again next week when we return with Feathers, written by Jonathan Bundy, another tale well calculated to keep you in suspense.
Suspense on Tuned to Yesterday from January 7th, 1962 on the Columbia Broadcasting System. It's an hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now, if you were a listener in the Los Angeles area at the time of this next broadcast in 1949, you could have tuned in your radio at 5 p.m. and heard Adventures in Music on two different stations, KFAC and KFI, the Meditation Board program on KHJ, Think Fast on KECA, or this episode of Rocky Jordan on CBS radio affiliate KNX, heard on August 28th of 1949. This episode called The Lady from Istanbul.
Buy wisely. Buy for flavor. Buy Del Monte. Del Monte, the brand you trust for flavor in so many good foods. Time now for Rocky Jordan, brought to you by Del Monte Foods, the brand preferred by more women than any other line of canned fruits and vegetables in the world. Not far from the Mosque Sultan Hassan in Cairo stands the Café Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. The Café Tambourine, crowded with forgotten men, alive with the babble of many languages. For this is Cairo, where modern adventure and intrigue unfold against the backdrop of antiquity. Del Monte presents Rocky Jordan and this week's story, The Lady from Istanbul. We'll be right back.
It was just like any other busy evening in the Tambourine. Outside of the tourists, the customers were about the same, too, including a towering hulk of a dock worker with the incredible name of Abdul Omalia, who was paying for every three and taking the fourth on the house. But it was another customer who held my interest. She was seated at a corner table holding conversation with a tall, pencil-mustache man. She was American and she was lovely, with soft green eyes shadowed by heavy lashes to match her jet-black hair. I was trying to decide what she reminded me of. St. Louis, maybe, or New Orleans.
A most beautiful creature, eh, Rocky?
Huh? Oh, yes, she is, Abdul.
But not for you, Effendi, as you can see.
Oh, you get me wrong. Girl's upset about something. A little too upset.
A lover's quarrel. What else? Come, forget her and join me for a drink.
Not this time, Abdul, thanks. Have another on the house.
Bartender.
Yeah?
You heard the Mr. Johnson.
I was sure there was more than anger in her tense face and eyes. What I saw there was a strange uncertainty and terror.
Leave me alone.
Get up from there.
No, no, my arm, Henri, you're hurting me.
It takes pain to teach a lesson such as this.
All right, that's enough, mister. Break it up.
This is no affair of yours.
In my cafe, it is. Now beat it.
So, with you, it takes the knife, eh?
Who are you? Now pick up that knife and get out of here.
Rest assured, you have not seen the last of me. You will more than regret this. Both of you.
All right, folks, settle down. It happens every day. Show's over. Back to your tables.
Mr. Jordan.
You all right, lady?
Yes, but I'm so dreadfully sorry.
Oh, you needn't be. Here, sit down. Mind if I join you?
Please do. I'm Marlowe Granger.
It's a pleasure. I don't recall meeting the guy with the mustache, either.
Oh, his name is Paget. Henri Paget.
Not a very nice playmate.
He's only a shipboard acquaintance. We met aboard the Doreen B, coming down from Istanbul.
Well, then you're new to Cairo.
Our boat docked here just this evening. I'm at Shepherd's now. We were sightseeing and came in here. I didn't know what he was like, Mr. Jordan.
Okay, Marlowe, let's forget him then, huh?
I would like nothing better. Thank you for what you did.
Forget it. I don't like to see pretty girls slapped around, especially Americans.
Americans?
St. Louis, my hometown. Yours?
Why, my home? London. Yes, that's it. I'm from London.
Aren't you sure?
Yes. Yes, of course. London.
Well, it doesn't make any difference.
Mr. Jordan.
Some folks call me Rocky.
Rocky, all these people. I must go back to my hotel. Would you
mind?
What
about Paget? Sure he isn't waiting around?
I don't know. It's possible.
Supposing I come along, huh? Just in case?
Yes, Rocky, please do.
I took her to Shepherd's with no more trouble. Before I left her, we found ourselves making a date for tomorrow. I picked her up the next afternoon. We hired a horse-drawn buggy called a Gahari. We're off on a deluxe tour of Cairo. Strange oriental quarters, bustling bazaars, the Nile Drive. The threat of Henri Paget seemed to be forgotten. He wasn't following us, but somebody else was. A blonde, bareheaded man in a white suit. He showed up at the pyramids, the Sphinx, and the museum. Then again on a street corner where a native comedian was doing some tricks. I maneuvered her in the crowd so she was looking at the man in the white suit point blank. Marlowe, do you know that man, the one in the white suit?
Oh, what'd you say, Rocky?
Nothing, skip it. There was no sign of recognition, so I let it pass. As for Marlowe, she seemed to have just found life, laughing, full of interest at each new discovery. I don't know, maybe she noticed the same change in me. Well, it went on that way. At 3 o'clock in the morning, we stood at the top of the fabulous Abdin Palace, viewing ancient and modern Cairo at a glance. But it could have been any place. San Francisco's Telegraph Hill or the Tribune Tower in Chicago. Because all I could see was Marlowe in my arms.
I never dreamed Cairo was like this, Rocky.
Marlowe, that fellow down there with the native flute.
Yes, I've been listening.
He's been playing it for years. Ever since I came to Cairo. It used to sound like a clothesline in a high wind. You know how it sounds now?
Rocky, please. It's been a wonderful night. Let's not spoil it now.
Sounds like all the music that was ever written and ever could be written. In this city, Cairo. I've seen it at night and I've seen it in the daytime. But it never looked like this. Nothing ever looked like this.
Rocky, please, I have no right.
Nothing was ever like this.
Darling. Oh, my darling.
Hey, what is this? Is it that bad?
No, it isn't that.
You had me worried. Come on, lady. We've made a discovery. I know your name, and I want to know more.
No.
How you got here and how we met.
Rocky, I...
Marlo, what is wrong?
The music stopped. Please, take me back to my hotel.
Without saying any more, we turned and went down the winding steps of the palace tower to where our Gahari was waiting. And as we rode slowly back across the city, I saw that she was again the tense, bewildered girl of the night before. I tried desperately to get at what happened and why, but it was no good. And we didn't say any more till we reached Shepherd's around 4 a.m. and stopped at the door to a room. I still didn't have it straight. Well, I guess I figured wrong again.
Rocky, I wish you could understand.
So do I, Marlo.
Goodbye, Rocky.
Uh-uh, Marlo. Just good night. Marlo's eyes darted from his face to mine and back again, and all the terror was there now, because the man she'd called Emil was big and fat and evil and smiling with a devil's head.
Most tender and touching scene, most tender indeed. Gorge.
Alwa, Setambe.
See that Mr. Jordan does not remember it.
I whirled as a huge dumb giant in a robe and fez appeared from behind. In another second, I was locked in his arms like a baby in a cradle. Only this guy wasn't gentle. I tried to make a fight of it, but I couldn't move. He just held on with his huge arm around my neck and squeezed and squeezed and squeezed. Till Marlo's lovely face and the grinning devil's head faded into a haze. And I never knew when the arms gave way and I dropped to the floor.
Jordan, wake up. Come, my good man. Open your eyes.
All at once, out of the blackness, there was bright light in my eyes. I realized it was from the early morning sun pouring in an open window.
Mr. Jordan, will you wake up?
A man with too much pomade on his hair was bending over, shaking me. I was on a bed in a small room.
Mr. Jordan.
But I wasn't waking up fast enough.
I say, are you all right now? You just can't stay here, you know.
Oh, I'll make it. Who are you?
I'm the room clerk. I was instructed to arouse you.
Wait a minute. Isn't this Shepherd's?
Oh, dear, no. You're in the Caliph House. Small but in good taste, sir.
What am I doing here?
A man brought you in during the night for safekeeping, shall we say. He paid the bill, but it's now checking out time.
What man? What did he look like?
Oh, rather tall with a mustache. he was sober.
His name was Paget.
Well, at least you remember that much.
Let me get that phone.
A moment, my good man. There's a payphone in the lobby.
He had it his way, and I called Shepherd's for Marlo Granger. She'd checked out 2 hours before, leaving no forwarding address, nothing. What I couldn't figure out was the link between Paget, Satan, and Gourgay. So I tried a piazza for police headquarters.
Sabaya speaking.
Sam, it's Rocky.
Do not shout, Jordan. I can hear you.
Listen, I want you to help me locate a girl.
That a function of the police department?
Look, Sam, you know I don't call you unless it's important.
Continue, please. What is her name?
Marlo Granger.
Marlo? Indeed, Jordan. What do you know of this girl?
Well, she arrived in Cairo 2 days ago on the Doreen B from Istanbul. Green eyes, black hair. Registered at Shepherd's till this morning.
And what is your interest in her, Jordan?
Strictly personal, Sam, but you gotta find her. She's in trouble. Look, if you ever did anything
so
for me...
So you wish to find this girl?
That's right.
Well, so do we. We had best discuss this in person.
What are you driving at?
A man died in a Cairo hospital just an hour ago. His name was Henri Paget.
Paget?
We found him in a room at the Orient Hotel, badly wounded. Just before he died, he told us who shot him.
Sam, don't tell me.
Yes, Jordan. He was shot by the girl you and I would like to find, Marlo Granger.
Del Monte Foods is presenting tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan. Let's drop in on the Robinson family for a little while. It's just about dinner time, and Ed is due back from the golf course any minute. In fact, here he is now.
Hi, gorgeous.
Well, hi yourself. How was the golf game?
Okay. Really worked up an appetite. Say, what's on the menu tonight?
Smells good.
We're having pot roast. Mother's special recipe you like so well, remember?
Do I? Oh, there's nothing like it. Only just remember the catsup. My favorite kind with the special flavor.
Just try Del Monte catsup. Along with Mrs. Robinson, you'll be saying,
Del Monte catsup has such marvelous flavor. I wouldn't be without it.
Now we return you to Cairo and tonight's adventure with Rocky Jordan, the lady from Istanbul.
I didn't ask Marlo Granger to come into my life, but there she was, and she was everything I'd ever wanted. Getting her out wasn't so easy. Not even now, when I knew from Henri Paget's deathbed statement that she shot him. I couldn't believe it. The memory of the tenderness Marlo and I had known a few hours before told me it wasn't so. I wanted to find her, and I didn't. I went back to the tambourine, and Sam was there waiting with questions that went on and on. When he was gone, I left the crowded cafe and went up the balcony steps to my quarters over the tambourine. I stood there alone for a long time, looking out the window into the sun-baked street, wondering about Marlo and thinking how this was always the way it happened to me. The same old bitterness was back with me again. And so was the man in the white suit I saw casually standing on the corner below, watching the tambourine. Well, this was my chance to collar him, only just then a knock came.
Rocky.
Marlo.
Rocky, help me.
Marlo,
please,
what happened? Where have you been?
You're all I remember, Rocky.
They're looking for you, Marlo. Whatever it's about, you've got to tell me.
Help me. Help me.
Before I could stop her, she'd slumped to the floor. I closed the door, got to the window, and pulled down the blinds. As I did, I noticed the man in the white suit was gone. I lifted Marlo then and placed her on a couch. Her purse slid to the floor, and as I picked it up, the heavy contents confirmed my worst fears. Inside, I found an 8-shot Webley Fosbury English automatic, recently fired. I got the gun out of sight, then did what I could for Marlo. With the help of some cold water and smelling salts, I brought her around, and I had to make her talk to me.
I don't know, Rocky. I don't know.
You've got to, Marlo. After the guy you called Emil showed up at Shepherd's, and the big fellow laid me out, what happened?
I remember only that Emil kept speaking to me about Henri Paget over and over again.
Where did you go?
The next I remember, I was standing across from Henri in a hotel room. I think I heard pistol shots and Ollie slumped at my feet. That's all, Rocky.
Why should you blank out?
I don't know.
There's so much more, Marlo. Who is Emil?
Emil Satan. I saw him first several weeks ago in Istanbul.
What else? How did you meet him?
I only remember that he was talking to me, telling me my name, saying I lived in London. He promised to take me there after this trip to Cairo.
You came along to Cairo because he told you to?
I had no money and he said he'd take me home. It was kind of him, and I... Rocky, you must believe me.
I'm trying to, Marlo. I'm trying.
Rocky, I don't know who I am or what I've done. I don't know anything except that the noise of those shots seemed to bring you back in front of me. I had to see you. I had to see you no matter what.
I think I'm glad you came. Wait here.
Where are you going?
To the police.
No.
Don't worry. They won't learn you're here. Just stay put. Don't even answer the door. I'll have my bartender keep watch.
Rocky.
Yes?
Why do you do this for me? It might ruin you. You know I've killed a man.
I'm not sure you killed a man.
But the police are after me. They'll be after you. Why? Why do you do this for me?
Marlo, if all this drives you to me, the least I can do is to find out what made you do it.
Rocky, I don't know what's happened. There's so much I don't know. I don't care now. I found you, and you're my life. Now and forever.
So, Jordan, in spite of what we know about this Marlo Granger, you still wish to find her?
More than ever, Sam.
At the moment, her whereabouts is not known, at least by the police.
Sam, I'm going to ask you a favor. You've got police influence.
Be careful that you do not overstep yourself, Jordan.
All I'm asking is that you wire London, missing persons. Find out if a girl answering Marlowe's description is a recent amnesia victim.
London? Amnesia? It seems that you know much more of the lady than when I talked to you last.
How about it, Sam? You can get an answer quicker than I can.
Tell me, Jordan, where are you hiding this girl?
Sam, listen to me.
I am listening.
I've never asked you yet to step out of uniform or do anything because of whatever regard you have for me.
It has been truly spoken. Be friends in social life, but as strangers in all else.
Okay, then I'm begging you. I'm saying, please, get me an answer from London before you make me turn her in.
Very well, Jordan.
Thanks.
But mark you this, Jordan. You will turn Marlowe Granger over to me when I ask for her.
Sure, Sam. It's a promise. My next step to get an answer was the Doreen B, which turned out to be a slow freighter docked at Bulak that carried a few passengers. It was being unloaded. None of the crew was aboard, so I followed one of the loading trucks till it pulled up at a big woolen import warehouse. A visit to the manager's office there gave me a little of what I wanted to know.
What's it about, mister?
That stuff from the Doreen B. You mind telling me where it's from?
A shipment from the Say and Forget firm, London. Why?
The Doreen B, their boat?
It could be. Why?
I'm anxious to see one of them on business. You know where Satan's staying in Cairo?
He didn't say. Hey, you read where some dame plugged Forget?
Yeah. Will you be seeing Satan again?
Unfortunately. He gives me the quivers to look at. He'll be here at 6 o'clock to pick up his dough.
So will I. So that was something. But Marlowe herself was more important. The confusion, the uncertainty, the trying to remember. From there, I paid a visit to Hassan Bey, a Cairo physician who explained about the different kinds of amnesia. And how a mind already sickened might possibly be made to react against its will by powerful suggestion. And with that, I went back to the tambourine. And when I got there, I learned the promise I'd made to Sam was one I couldn't keep. The tambourine was in a turmoil. I ran back and up the balcony steps, scrambled over Chris, who was picking himself up from the landing. The door to my room was smashed open, and I knew before I was inside that Marlowe was gone. I was back to Chris and helping him up fast.
Oh, come on. Oh, take it easy, Rocky.
Oh, you told me not to let a man in. This wasn't a man. He was 10 men all rolled into one. I'm sorry, Rocky.
The thought of Marlowe again in the hands of Emil Satan drove me back to that warehouse fast. He had a business date there at 6, and I wanted to be waiting when he got there. I made it 15 minutes before the hour.
Bad luck, mister. Satan's already here and gone.
Gone, but the date was for 6.
He showed up early.
Why?
Look, I don't argue with a guy with a puss like that. Anyhow, I told Mr. Satan you were looking for him.
You told him?
Wasn't that what you wanted?
Oh, thanks, pal. It took only a few minutes more to reach the docks and find out that the Doreen B had lifted anchor a half hour before, headed for the Mediterranean. There wasn't time to argue with Sabaya now. No time for anything but to keep moving. Some fast scouting around took me to my drinking friend Abdul Omalia there on the docks with some other workers.
Jordan of Hindi, what brings you to the banks of the Nile?
I need your help, Abdul. I need it bad.
Then you have it, Jordan. It is an honor to repay you for 1,000 favors.
All right, then listen. There's a boat sailing for the Mumadia Canal in Alexandria with a full crew aboard, but it's got to be stopped.
Is that all that concerns you?
Be sure what you're doing, Abdul. We need plenty of men. I don't promise what happens with the police or anybody.
Oh, you hear him, men? Who comes with us?
All right, let's go.
We come. The days of piracy are gone, Effendi Jordan. But tonight we live.
And not long before dark, Abdul Amalia, his motley crew, and I were on a launch pulling out into the Nile, armed with guns, knives, and gaffing hooks. About an hour and a half after sunset, we picked up the wake of the Doreen B. And in no time at all, we were alongside and piling over the railing onto its deck. It was all over, topside, that quick. And while our men held the crew, Abdul and I slammed through the upper cabins. No luck there, so we went below. And at the end of a dim passageway, we found the right door.
Get off this boat, Jordan, while you can.
We're going back to Cairo, Satan.
Rocky, no.
Stay back, Marlowe. Gorge will deal with these foolhardy intruders. At once, Gorge. You, I kill now.
Leave the big one to me, Jordan. At last, I met a worthy adversary.
The two came together like two elephants at play. They went down with Abdul slamming the giant's head against the floor. It could last only so long, and my eyes were on Amos Satan.
Rocky, he's reaching for his gun.
Satan's hand dove into his pocket, and his gun came out, but he was too slow and fumbling. I twisted the gun out of his hand and let him have it across the face, and I wasn't gentle.
Enough, Jordan.
I am done with the big one, Jordan.
Keep back, Abdul. I'll handle this one. What do I...
Jordan, enough, I tell you.
It's not enough. What have you done to Marlowe? What have you done to her?
She came of her free will.
Free will? You knew she was suffering from amnesia when you found her. Where, in Istanbul?
It was Istanbul. I don't know how she got there.
But you knew of her sickness. You forced her against her will, making her kill for you.
And what can you do now? Emil Paget is dead. I'm rid of a wily partner whom I hated.
You'd use a beautiful woman for that.
Beautiful women were Paget's only incaution. That made it easy.
Yeah. You had only to instill hatred for Paget in Marlowe's sickened mind, provide her with a weapon, and suggest murder over and over till it paid off.
And she will pay, Jordan, not
I. You're paying, Satan. You're paying for me. I dropped my gun and I was in with my fist, taking out everything that had piled up inside me these past 2 days. I kept pounding him until Abdul finally dragged me off and took Emil Satan away. Then Marlowe and I were standing there in each other's arms.
Oh, Rocky, tell me everything's over. Tell me.
Yes, Angel, yes. Nothing more is going to happen to you.
Darling. Darling, I will be all right. Tell me again.
It's all over. Everything's going to be all right. For both of us.
In just a moment, Rocky Jordan returns to conclude tonight's story. Say, if you ladies want to add extra flavor to everyday dishes, try cooking with Del Monte tomato sauce. You'll find Del Monte has a rich, spicy flavor that's never been matched. In fact, Del Monte is the original tomato sauce. For a whole generation, women have trusted and preferred it to all other cooking sauces. For instance, Mrs. F.W. Porter of San Francisco, California, said,
I started using Del Monte tomato sauce when we first came to California about 20 years ago. I'm a graduate of the National School of Domestic Arts and Sciences, and good cooking has always been a hobby with me. And in any dish calling for tomato flavor, I just reach for Del Monte tomato sauce. I know it'll give me just the flavor I want.
Thank you, Mrs. Porter. And friends, it's true. Of the millions of women who prefer Del Monte tomato sauce, many have been using it ever since they first learned to cook. Yes, American housewives have bought more cans of Del Monte tomato sauce than any other brand. Remember, for matchless flavor that gives a lift to everyday dishes, buy the original tomato sauce, Del Monte. Back now to Rocky Jordan.
It was all over, almost. When we all got back to Cairo and police headquarters, Abdul Omalia turned out to be a good witness. Marlowe was booked on involuntary manslaughter, and then the charge dropped, and she was put in my custody. I made arrangements for her to be taken to the hospital for treatment. Emil Satan was held for first-degree murder. Well, that was the time when I should have held Marlowe in my arms like any movie ending. But instead, that was the time the guy in the white suit walked in.
Mr. Jordan?
Yeah?
My name is John Dawson.
Yeah, I've seen you before.
Yes, I've been following you and Marlowe for 2 days now. Mr. Jordan, I get the impression that you're quite fond of her.
That's right, so what?
If you don't mind, I'd like to tell you a little story.
Well?
Not so long ago, two people very much in love were touring the continent of Europe. In Marseille, there was an accident.
Go on.
Shortly afterwards, one of these two people disappeared. The other tried to follow. The trail led from Marseille to Rome, to Athens, to Istanbul, then to Cairo.
What are you getting at?
The person who left, Mr. Jordan, is the one you know as Marlowe Granger.
So?
What you don't know is that her real name is Marlowe Dawson. She's my wife.
Your wife?
We were married in Reading, Pennsylvania in 1943. I have the certificate in my...
Skip it. Well, what now?
I've just been to the hospital. The doctor said that her loss of memory can be cured by a simple operation. 1 week's time and she'll forget all that happened since the accident in Marseille.
Forget?
Yes. Forget all the evil of Emil Satan and the murder of Henri Paget.
And me.
Yes.
Now, what are you talking to me for?
Because technically, Marlowe is in your custody. The doctor requires your consent before he can operate.
Why should I give it?
Because you love her, and you know I love her, and because you know the evil has to be wiped away and she has to go back to what she once was.
Okay, Dawson, she's yours.
Thank you, Jordan, for my life again.
So she'll forget it all in a week. I wonder if I'll ever forget it.
Rocky Jordan, written tonight by Gomer Cool and Larry Roman from a story by E. Jack Newman, stars Jack Moyles in the title role with Jay Novello as Sam Sabaya. Rocky Jordan is produced and directed by Cliff Howell, with original music composed and conducted by Richard Arant. Remember, you have a date next week at the Cafe Tambourine, run by Rocky Jordan. Same time, same station. And the story is A Stranger to the Desert. Larry Thor speaking. Rocky Jordan is presented over CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Rocky Jordan, on Tuned to Yesterday from August 28, 1949 on CBS. And so closes this hour of adventure on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden years. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVanier. Thanks for listening.